I am Pierre Lumumba here at the African Heritage House in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya. Today we want to ask ourselves whether those who are described by Europeans as African chiefs and kings have a role in what we call contemporary governance systems. And that question is legitimate because the advent of European colonization, conquests, and governance disrupted the governance systems of many African countries. And therefore, it is important to contextualize that discussion in the knowledge that African societies and nations existed with different governance systems. If we look at the continent of Africa regionally, and we start with the western part of Africa, and you go into different societies, if you go to the Yoruba, they had their own leaders. And you had the Oni of Ife, you have the Alafin. If you go to the Edo people in Benin, they had their own leader. If you go to the Igbo, they had their own leader. In Mali, you had the Songhai Empire with their own leader. You had Sundiata Keita. In Dahomey, you had their own leaders described with their own terminologies. And if you translated that, then they would become kings and the minor ones would be chiefs. If you went to the Central Africa, you had the Luba Empire, you had the Congo Empire, and in Central Africa, you also had the Mossi Empire. If you went to East Africa or you looked at East Africa, you had the Kabaka of the Baganda. You had in the Bunyoro Kitara Empire, amongst the Ethiopians, you had their own emperor. In Southern Africa, amongst the Zulu, the Xhosa, the Venda, in the Mono Motapa. In other words, they were nations. And these were like all nations. They were engaged in treaties, they engaged in war, they wanted to expand their empires. It is these empires that when the European colonizers came, they entered into treaties with initially and ultimately ended up conquering them and colonizing them. And we know that some of these chiefs and kings were then exiled into islands such as Comoros and the Seychelles. So that when you look at the European governance system, these governance systems were disruptive. Disrupted to the extent that they did two things. In places where the French governed, they almost totally eliminated the chiefs and the kings and imposed their governance system. The same was true with the Portuguese. The same was true with the Spaniards. The same was true with the Germans before they were removed. The same was true with the Italians and the Belgians. The same was true with the British, who in their approach had what they called indirect rule. In other words, they recruited the chiefs who would now work for them as they supported them militarily and otherwise. So by the time that the colonial enterprise was completed after the Berlin Conference of 1884 and 1885, most African chiefs and most African kings had been relegated to only cultural significance. They remained as chiefs or kings who are only responsible for things that related to culture, but only to the extent that they were allowed by the colonizing powers. When countries started regaining independence, there are those who took the view that we ought to re-examine our governance systems and bring about different governing systems. But let us examine that Africa. Ethiopia was never colonized successfully, and therefore their traditional governance systems continued almost uninterrupted. And that interruption must also be understood in context that while in Ethiopia you had the lineage of Menelik and ultimately Haile Selassie, and the attempt by the Italians to colonize them culminating in his exile, it ought to be understood that even the Amharic Empire, which was led by the Amharas, was also a conquering empire that brought together different communities in what was then Abyssinia and is modern day Ethiopia. If you look at different areas, you will discover that in areas such as Swaziland, what was then called Swaziland, which is now called Eswatini, they also had their own governance systems. So when countries started regaining independence, there was the argument that we ought to go back to a traditional governance system. Egypt regains our independence from the British in 1922, but does so on the basis of a Western model system of governance. When the other countries are regaining their independence, like Sudan in 1956, Sudan also regains our independence in a manner that is largely dictated by the British and the Egyptians at that time. So British colonies regained their independence on the basis of what were then described as the Westminster model constitutions, which were drafted in England. The same is true of the French colonies. The same is true of the few Spanish colonies. So that the systems of governance that are retained in post-colonial Africa are alien to the continent of Africa. The debate then arises, are chiefs relevant? Are African kings relevant? The modern day African ruler does not think so. And you see that even in Ghana, when Ghana regained their independence in 1957, there is a tension between the administration of Kwame Nkrumah and the traditional rulers. In Nigeria, when Nigeria regains their independence with the administration of Abubakar Tafawa Balewa and Nnamdi Azikiwe, there is a tension as to how you are to incorporate these traditional governance systems. In Uganda, when independence is regained with Kabaka Mutesa as the president and Apollo Milton Obote as the prime minister, there is tension culminating in the abolition of traditional kingdom. And this is repeated throughout the continent because there is a disharmony, a lack of understanding of how you are going to have numerous centers of power in these artificial states that were created in Berlin. So today, when we ask ourselves whether African traditional chiefs are relevant, whether traditional African kings are relevant, the answer to that question is, I believe we must find a role for traditional governance systems. The reason why I'm saying so is because we have seen that since we regained independence not more than 67 years ago with Ghana and Sudan, we see that the African post-colonial African state has been a troubled state with coup d'etats, with civil wars, with guerrilla warfare, with many conflicts. And the question that people are now asking, could we be better if we migrated our traditional governance system from their feudal strictures and brought them into some kind of governance? And I hold it can be done. I hold the view that modern day Uganda can have space for the Kabaka of Buganda, for the Kingdom of Bunyoro Kitara, for the Kingdom of Busoga and Toro, the Wanyachi of the Luo, I hold the view that modern day South Sudan can have a place for those kings and kings. I believe that modern day South Africa can have a place for them. I believe that in Nigeria, there is a place for the Oni of Ife, the Oba, and all these traditional rulers. The question is how? And on the how question, one can only give suggestions. I believe that if we were to adopt uniquely African confederal and federal structures in which we accommodate these realities, then we would have chiefs who are accommodated and kings who are accommodated in the manner, and permit me to make reference to Europe. The Europeans killed all their kings during a certain period, from Sweden to Norway to Spain to Portugal to the Netherlands to Italy to Eastern Europe to Russia, and then they constitutionalized their monarchies. They did not eliminate them, but they made them to conform to the realities of a changing world. Of course, in many African nations, we do not have nation states like we have in Europe, where you have the Swedes, largely Swede, the Norwegians, largely Norwegians, the Finns, largely Finns. In many modern African states, we have many nations together. But I believe that if nations were to sit together, then modern day governance problems would be eliminated. And it is a debate that I think is legitimate. It is a debate that I think Africans should undertake. And I remember when he was alive, Libya's Muammar al-Gaddafi actually held a meeting for African chiefs and kings, I think it was in Sirte in Libya, with a view to trying to find out what their role would be in modern days. I believe that such a meeting is necessary, and I look forward to the African Union holding a meeting which will not only have representation at the heads of states level, but representation of traditional rulers, so that we can begin to re-examine different ways of governance as we rethink Africa, as we want to stabilize governance in Africa for the sake of our political, economic, technological, and spiritual renaissance. I believe there is a role. It is not for nothing that those governance systems emerged. And to kill them, to wish them away, is to cheat ourselves. The task is, for want of a better word, to modernize them, to contemporize them, to be relevant to today's world, the 21st century and beyond. It can't be done, and it must be done for the safety of the continent of Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, our debate on the continent of Africa and making inquiries about her is a debate that continues. We will continue with that conversation, but now, bye-byes until then.